Not too long after the massacre in Sutherland Springs, Texas, on Sunday, Devin Kelly was identified as the shooter. People started to Google that name, and Google served up top news results linking him to a left-wing political organization. Other results suggested he was a Muslim convert, and some suggested he was a supporter of Senator Bernie Sanders. None of these affiliations appear to be true, which leads us back to an ongoing problem with the way tech companies deliver breaking news to users. Ben Johnson covers technology for Here and Now and joins us. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Jeremy.
And give us a little more detail here. Where were these false stories coming from?
Basically, a lot of dubious conspiracy theory websites and Twitter or YouTube accounts. So one result, for instance, came from Prison Planet, which is a website affiliated with InfoWars, the outlet of Alex Jones, famous conservative radio host and conspiracy theorist. Also, YouTube videos, specifically channels that are from users who often push conspiracy theories, and the state-funded Russian news site RT, which cited some of those sources and later retracted part of its report. Basically, a lot of places that a discerning news consumer hopefully wouldn't really trust.
So how did these all show up in Google's news search results?
So partially thanks to this kind of popular on Twitter module that in a breaking news situation will appear right below top stories when you Google something or someone in the news, Jeremy. It's part of a partnership between Twitter and Google that delivers Twitter top news in Google results. These results were also part of Google's autocomplete function. So that's when you start typing something into the search bar and you get these suggestions of what you're about to type and they're looking for. This is one of those predictive technologies that Google really touts as the power of its use of big data, both in terms of what other people have searched for, but also maybe your own search history. And because websites that purposefully made a concerted effort to associate the shooter politically with the left, Google's algorithm actually presumably started picking up on those results and reinforced them when people started clicking on these fake news reports.
This sounds awfully familiar, I must say, with all the news that we've been covering about the tech companies and the election and Russian hacking. Just last week, the top executives from Google, Facebook, and Twitter were on Capitol Hill testifying about fake news and election interference. Are these the same issues that we're dealing with now?
Absolutely. Last week, we heard from the testimony of tech companies in Washington that during the election, we had content on Facebook designed to confuse voters reach 126 million Facebook users, 131,000 Twitter messages, over 1,000 videos posted on YouTube. Now, we should point out that there's a difference between ads, which Russian agents were apparently boosting with money on Facebook to target certain specific groups, and regular posts, which are more general in their targeted audience. And in the case we're now discussing, the shooting in Texas, you had top search results that may have reached a really wide audience, so non-targeted. Now, this is part of like Google's special sauce. It's proprietary. We don't know exactly how the algorithm works, but presumably they were reaching a much wider audience.
So what are these companies saying that they're going to do to fix this problem, if anything?
That's a great question. Google spokesperson has said they're working on the autocomplete function specifically. It is supposed to react to user search activity and interests. And in this case, the tool was not working, quote, as intended, they say. YouTube, owned by Google, of course, continues to say it is working on search results, though it said that after similar problems following the Las Vegas mass shooting, and these problems, these kinds of problems still surfaced in the wake of this shooting. And there are also differences between these tech companies, right? Like, it's a lot easier for agents posing as real users to create fake news content and boost it on Facebook with money. And then you have Snapchat, where there's almost zero fake news content compared to a ton of other platforms. Snapchat says this is because they use more human curation and only partner with sort of vetted news organizations. So the larger issue here is that tech companies who claim not to be media companies, by the way, have still built these like massive, powerful media delivery vehicles. And those massive media delivery vehicles, more often than not, aren't actually curated by people. They're automated. And so these companies are trying to react to this. And at the end of the day, I think tech companies probably need to fully face the role they play and actually boost their human teams that fix the issues that the algorithms serve up.
So we humans still have some value in the world.
Hopefully.
Okay. I want to ask you about one more thing while we have you, and that is that Twitter announced this week that they will officially allow 280 characters per tweet instead of 140. A lot of people have been talking about this on Twitter. Stephen Colbert tweeted, "Dear Twitter, if there's one thing we could ask for from 2017, it wouldn't be more Twitter. Thanks, Stephen."
Yeah.
Why are they doing this?
So Twitter tested this, according to Jack Dorsey, and it worked out well for some users that they tested it with, and now they're rolling it out to everyone. The company presumably feels like it's going to be better for the platform, better for people interacting on the platform. Jeremy, as you and I know, in radio, you know, good writing is usually concise writing. So I don't know if 280 characters is actually going to make the experience that much better. But when Twitter was first on the scene, people didn't know how to describe it, and they described it as a microblogging platform. So I guess it's like maybe getting closer to that now.
That's Ben Johnson, who covers tech for Here and Now. Ben, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.